Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, WTIC. Greg West Hartford, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, I was listening to you and Michael, and I got to say, first thing this morning, 5 o'clock, I got up and was getting ready to go to the gym, but I got on my computer instead, and I looked up the number one searched item on Google, and the number one searched item on Google was the Biden laptop. Or second most searched item was Hunter's laptop. I got on Bing, and it was Hunter Biden's laptop. Second was Biden's laptop. So the word is definitely getting out there. And Dr. Turley, Steve Turley, has a great video that he just put out. And it is definitely affecting the polls. It's affecting the media. And I think the word is getting out there. I would like the legacy media to cover it because it is a
big story. Well, that's the next thing. But if it's all over social media, they'll do it. Joe in Simsbury, hi.
Hi there. Well, one of the best reporters in the business, a real true journalist, Catherine Herridge from CBS, is now starting to cover this. So it won't be long. But what I wanted to talk about was last night I got the distinct impression that Joe Biden would like to see us in a war. He could not stand the fact that Donald Trump says nice things about North Korea, and that's been effective. And it really sent a chill down my spine that this guy and the people that are controlling him may want to have some sort of a war, you know, as part of either jumpstarting the economy or changing foreign policy, or now that there's news out in the last 90 minutes that Hunter was involved in the sale, illegal sale of a Michigan company that sells military equipment banned by the U.S. for sale to China. They set up a whole bunch of offshore ownership structures to hide the...
Very interesting, Joe. Sorry, I've got to hold you right there. Thank you for the call, sir. Young James coming up next. Good afternoon to you. Todd here with you. Visit me on Twitter at... No. Is it? Yes. It's at Todd Talk. Simple as that. And my Facebook page, toddtalk.com. Joining us now, young James, 12 wonderful years old. Do you think it's possible, James, for you to improve with age, or do you think you're peaking right now?
I mean, everything's possible. So, yeah, there's nothing that would stop me from improving with age.
Really good answer. That was another really good answer. What's on your mind this week, James?
What's on my mind right now is actually, this is interesting, because I was scrolling through this site called Quora, and I was looking through, and this person asked a question. Can you get your news from just reading headlines? I thought it was a silly question, and at first thought it was a troll. Looked into the person, and it probably wasn't a troll. Anyways, so I started looking up to test this myself, looking up news headlines, seeing which ones were misleading, and if they felt to me like they were going to be misleading, I looked into the article to see if they were even related to the headline. And commonly, I found that a lot of these news articles, they find a way to word them so that it sounds like one thing. I actually have an example that I think is quite relevant to this.
And excellent.
It says, officer kills man with no active warrants at wrong house. So, the problem here is, to me, no active warrants, in my opinion, sounds like a weird way of saying innocent man.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't mean innocent man. Because this person has had a criminal record, and they were found in multiple crimes before. And here's the thing. The officer that was going at them was not at the wrong house. The way they got the wrong house is because the officer had warrants for another person, but wasn't going after those warrants at the moment. So they found a way to say that it's wrong house, although it wasn't wrong house. He was going to arrest this man. Two, this man actually tried to attack the cop and was resisting, not in the normal sense, but in the physically attacking. So that's one way that you can mislead it. And also some things, it's just, it comes to a point where when you're looking at these articles, no matter how true and no matter how factually correct they are, they can still be, how do I say this? Not trustworthy. Because with the way they do things is if they only represent one side, no matter how factually correct they are, by virtue of not representing the other side, they're being untrustworthy.
Are you talking about the article itself or the headlines still?
Both of them, actually, yeah.
It's an interesting thing about headlines, James, because I don't know if you know this, but newspapers generally change the headline, even if the author of a story writes a headline. At big newspapers, there's somebody in charge of headlines, a writer of headlines who's different from the writer of the stories. But even so, when you're laying out a story, you have different requirements in terms of number of words that you can fit in the space that you have available for the headline based on the layout that's being done at the given time. So really the only way to control a headline is at that last moment when somebody's laying out the story and they might need to adjust the headline. And so it's one of those things that might be written by somebody who's never even read the article. They might have just scanned quickly the first couple of paragraphs.
Okay, that makes sense. But my point is how they do this, where they make it so that you think one thing from the article, though it may not technically be incorrect, they word it in a way where it sounds like one thing, but you can't argue that they're lying.
And yeah, you're right. It happens all the time. It's one of those inconsistencies, and you're right to point it out. You're wise to point it out because it is a problem. There are times when the headlines match up really well with the story, but I think most times there's a little variation like what you're pointing out.
Right. And I wanted to say this because I want to get it out there that when you're on the internet browsing through and you see a headline and it catches your eye, if you have time, read the article. Because a lot of times you can get the wrong view from a headline. It could say, you could think this man, an example would be if somebody commits a crime.
James, hold on one sec. We'll talk a bit more about this, then we'll finish up with James. We'll take some more phone calls. But I do want to get into this a little further because it is a great topic from James. 860-522-9842. We're talking to James. We'll take phone calls in a couple of minutes. So, James, headlines, stories, the way you introduced this topic reminded me of the fact that in a lot of ways where people get news from social media, a lot of times you are seeing headlines fly by at high speed. You read quickly and you think you've got the gist of the story. And that becomes the little piece of information you store away. A lot of times people don't read further to find out what the subtleties of the information inside the story are.
I think that's actually a really good comparison with the social media. And honestly, I think with social media, the thing is with most social media sites, it's just like a quick little thing that somebody writes. And on the long things, commonly get skipped by a lot of users because they're just browsing through really quickly. I think it's almost inevitable that social media is going to be one of the worst ways of finding out your news. Because, one, there's no true fact-checking. I mean, there is some fact-checking where if you spew something that's obvious nonsense, you'll get downvoted. But there's no real fact-checking on it, and there's no real repercussions for being fake.
Well, there you go. It is the Wild West in the news business today. James, thank you once again.
I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last.
Sure.
Do you know the name of, like, the college student that goes on this show? He seems really nice.
Oh, you're talking about Kevin Catapano.
Yeah,
Kevin is on Thursdays at 5:40. He goes to UConn Hartford. He is very nice, but more importantly, he's smart. And so I wouldn't mind if he wasn't nice because I like his brain power. But, yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, all right.
That's it? You want me to give him that message?
Yeah, can you?
Sure. Thank you, James. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Have a great
You're
weekend.
Welcome.
860-522-9842, Gene Harwinton. Hello, Gene.
Good afternoon. How are you today, Todd?
Well, the question is, how are you?
Just another day in paradise.
There you go.
I was a little bit disturbed at that guy that was picking at Rush a little bit. Now, I listened to you guys from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, and I never furthered my education, so I learned from you guys. And you have impacted my life more than a lot of other adults have in my life.
Well,
and
thank you. That's
it's not
very
fair
kind.
To really pick on him. My grandfather always said, don't pick on somebody till you walked a mile in his moccasins.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy should be careful because God has a funny sense of humor. I worked 7 days a week for 50 years, and I had a stroke, and now I reside in a wheelchair, and I will for the balance of my life. So, you know, it's like if somebody that's struggling with a life situation, you know, you should give them credit for having a positive attitude.
You're talking about Rush.
Rush, yes.
Yeah. But so what do you, in terms of the God has a strange way, I'm not sure what you said, but what, in terms of your own situation, you worked 7 days a week for 50 years. Do you see that you're wheelchair bound right now is some kind of punishment for something or message?
Well,
how do you interpret that?
But it's like, you know, I mean, there's some rotten people in this world and they don't even catch a cold. Why did he pick on me?
Exactly.
You know, I'll never understand it for the balance of my life, but, you know, I was a producer. I worked and I didn't get in trouble and I thought I was doing pretty good. And one day
I'm sorry. I'm sorry it worked out that way. But if you want to carry,
you know, but for him to pick on Rush is a good person. And,
yes, and I think, like you say, there's.
I mean, you know, I hope this guy, you know, he never gets an opportunity to suffer a little bit. And quite frankly, I hope he gets a rash.
Gene, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you, Bob Fairfield. Hello, Bob.
Todd, how are you? It's Bob McGuffey. I was a Tea Party guy that used to go on with Jim Vaisvich all the time. And,
oh, nice
know,
to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm listening to Michael Harrison here, you know, and people like him seem to be willfully not understanding why Trump is there. And Trump is simply there because more than enough people in the country were absolutely fed up with being ruled by Clintons and Bushes and everything they represented, and all of the debt they created and plundering, creating five of the richest counties in the country surrounding D.C. And Donald Trump was the last battering ram we had available to stuff into that federal racket. And I think he knows that, and all we get is mispositioning from people like him. Now, I don't like Trump's uncouthness either, but they use that as a window through which to push through more and more and more disparagement of a man who may say stupid stuff, but never does stupid stuff. And they don't look at his record.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Thank you for that, Bob, and good to hear from you, because I think that's really true. Louise, New Britain. Hello, Louise.
Hi. With Michael Harrison before?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm the so-called lucky, lovely lady that he talked to about abortion. And then he threw this question at me about the Pope. Are you there? I can't hear anything.
I'm just waiting for you to say what you want to say. Go ahead.
Okay, I have to change the phone because I can't. Okay. So, yeah, like a two-minute question. But, no, it is not for changing the position of the church on gay marriage. But and I heard more about, you have to listen a little bit of, sometimes the Pope is a little bit hard to understand. You have to, you know, there's a little confusion there. That's, you know, he said, well, anyway. But there's a program on a Catholic channel that has a little news clip every day. And they covered that yesterday a little bit. The thing is, the Pope is the Pope of the whole world. We can't just judge him about the way America is or anything. And one thing he says is, in some countries, being homosexual or having a, you know, same-sex relationship, whatever, could be a matter of life or death. So what he's, you know, trying to hope for is, is a law to protect these people, basically.
Yeah, okay. So what you're saying is his statement might not have been as wide-sweeping a call for rights as opposed to a call for the end to the brutality. Thank you for that. Got to run. 860-522-9842. Well, it's WTIC, and here we are on a Friday afternoon once again, getting ready for another weekend, which is always a lovely thing. 860-522-9842. Let's see. We go to Abby in Meriden. Hey, Abby.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you for the call.
One of your callers who just called in said something about being wheelchair-bound, and you asked him the question about if he thought that was a punishment or something from God. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So, and he kind of didn't really answer that well. He kind of was like, well, you know, and I just thought I would weigh in on that thought. And then I have another suggestion too, but on that thought, the Bible says two things to that. It says that things happen by chance and happenstance, and it also talks about it rains upon the just and the unjust. And the reason for that is why God hates sin, because the consequences of sin and the things that we do don't just happen to those who do them, but they happen to people who are affected by them, who could be innocent of the actions that cause them. So when things happen in our lives, it isn't because God necessarily made it happen. It's because the consequences of sin made it happen, whether no matter whose consequence that was. There was no disease or illness in the world until man sinned. So the consequence of sin causes it, not God.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification.
But God does promise to make all things work together for the good for them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. That was one thing.
Okay, what was the other point?
So the other thing I wanted to say was, with the upcoming election, in Connecticut especially, I would love to see everybody who votes for Mr. Trump tie a red ribbon around a tree somewhere. If they're afraid to do it in their own yard, then in a park. So that when everybody wakes up the next day, we can actually see that he should have won or did win.
Ooh, that's a really cool idea, Abby. Thank you for that. Paul Litchfield. Hello, Paul.
God, good afternoon. You know, I was listening and I didn't hear what Savage said. But I got to tell you, I think he's probably hurt himself, because there's clearly a relationship with the audience that builds over time. I've listened to your show from the beginning. I happen to have a job where I'm in the car a lot and I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've, you know, I'm 57 and I've listened to Rush before he was syndicated, when I happened to live in New York where he started. And after 30 plus years of listening to that, to his show, when he announced the cancer, I thought a member of my family had been stricken with cancer. It really affected me to that degree. So Savage has probably really upset a lot of faithful Rush listeners, and I think it was a silly, dumb thing to do. That's all I really wanted to
say. Yeah, well, he might have just been doing it for effect because he's getting out of radio anyway, but it just seemed like a silly thing to say. Thank you for that, Paul. 860-522-9842. The rant line coming up in about 35 minutes or so at 860-751-4698. Well, it's WTIC. It's Friday. It's kind of an exciting day in the average week. 860-522-9842. I'm looking. Where are we going next? Going next, we're going to Johnny in Enfield. Hello, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Todd. Todd, my perception is that the majority of our citizens here in Connecticut are more concerned about their security than their liberties and freedoms. And I don't know if this has been perpetuated by the media, if it's true or it's not true, or I wonder what your take is on.
Well, that sounds like a pretty safe conclusion. People are focused on their daily needs first, and there's not much education or conversation about rights anymore. That's been supplanted on purpose by politicians talking about things you get given, the free things you have a right to from your government. That's how they throw everybody off course, I think, by changing the meaning of the word rights from what are your inherent rights as a human being over to what we say you have a right to be given by the other people who are evil rich people or evil corporate owners and all that kind of stuff.
So I'm with you. You're saying that they have changed the perception of what is reality, or am I missing something?
Well, of what the reality of our system is based on, yes. They play word games to make sure people don't understand what's really going on.
Okay, great.
Is that how you look at it?
You gave me some insight here that I didn't understand.
Well, that's good. That might be the first time that's ever happened. Thank you. 860-522-9842. We've got Will in Enfield. Hi, Will.
Thank you, Todd. Wonderful show as usual. I was just wondering if you possibly might find this interesting, if you could ask Kevin from UConn at Hartford how the young people vote. And sometimes I heard that they can get an absentee ballot from where they live, maybe in Nebraska, or else they can vote in Hartford or Connecticut or certain town stores. And if they get a regular ballot, that could affect local politics in stores, for example. Do they get just the president or something like that? I wonder how they vote.
If you're a voter and you're going to vote, you get the ballot and you vote on the ballot. And anybody who's qualified to vote in Connecticut because they're going to school in Connecticut, they get to vote in Connecticut, which Kevin actually mentioned. I think it was Kevin who mentioned yesterday that he tries to encourage college kids, the kids he goes to school with, to vote in Connecticut because that means they're voting in a state where their liberal vote won't change an election.
He figures
he's benefiting.
How can they vote?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the difference between working in Connecticut and voting? I mean, why can they vote for local elections in Connecticut?
Because they live here.
They don't live here. They just go to school here.
Well, they spend 7-8 months in the state, a lot of them. A lot of them get apartments and stay here in the off season go home for a couple of weeks.
I'm glad you asked that question. I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for asking that question. Good to talk with you. It's a curious thing, but it's a reasonable thing if you think about it, because people need to vote where they are. And we do want people engaged. We can't just look at it through the prism of how the left rigs elections and where they get their votes from. It's more complicated than that. Aaron in Fairfield. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the rising level of COVID in Connecticut.
Sure.
We go by the PCR test, and PCR test picks up coronavirus, which includes cold and flu. And what happens is someone goes for a PCR test, they get a positive, they go to their doctor says it's, you know, cold or flu, or it actually is COVID based on their symptoms. So I think, you know, the numbers are a little misleading, and I think it's good for people to remain calm.
Wait a second. This part of it I've never heard before. Aaron, hold on one sec. We've got to get a quick traffic and weather update, and then I want to ask you a couple of questions about this, okay? 860-522-9842. So let's get back to Aaron, because, Aaron, this is interesting. I knew that the COVID test was PCR was basically a vacuum cleaner that had to suck up a lot of virus, and there's some art to this, and I'd heard that that they may be sucking up way too much of coronavirus.
Yeah, it's the way the test is run. If they run, like, there's a certain threshold of usually 30 cycles, and they're running them kind of, you know, a little bit high. So at 30 cycles, everyone is negative. At 50 cycles, everyone is positive for anything. The coronavirus, it's not pinpointed. So they're basically, you know, COVID-19 is not pinpointed. They're basically just testing for coronavirus, which includes the cold, includes the flu. So a lot of times there are false negatives, obviously. So people are tested twice. So they're getting these numbers from the labs. So they're not really going from confirmed cases of coronavirus or COVID-19. They're actually just getting from the labs positive tests. So someone could be positive, but then when they go to their doctor, the doctor says, no, it's just a cold or it's just the flu. So I think, you know, these numbers that they're getting from the labs are very misleading, because they're not really confirmed coronavirus cases. And a case actually signifies that someone has symptoms. So
you're saying the PCR test, I just want to get this clear, Aaron. The PCR test doesn't tell you which coronavirus somebody has. It doesn't say they've got COVID.
No, it just tests for every coronavirus. And if they cycle the test too high, you get a lot of false negatives. So someone is testing twice, and most of the time they do test you twice. So, you know, there's been a lot of say whether, like, if someone's tested twice, it's counted as two tests if they're positive twice. But it is just testing for coronavirus. So most of, you know, a confirmed coronavirus case requires, you know, going to a doctor and them saying, yes, you have, or a confirmed COVID-19 case, sorry, means that you've gone to a doctor and they've confirmed that you have COVID-19, but you could possibly just have a cold or the flu or whatever. So sometimes, you know, with some people, it comes out positive and they're actually positive, and some people are actually negative, but the numbers that they're getting are exactly from the labs. So they're not really precise, and I think it's a little play on the numbers, and I don't know why they do it, but, I mean, it's not, you know, they don't really give you all the news. It's kind of what the person you had on
before that
says it's a headline. That's a headline.
Yes. How do you know, though? You mentioned about the reporting that they are combining the multiple tests that an individual gets. So if somebody tests more than once positive, that would be multiple.
Well,
positives.
Somebody could
How
test
do you
multiple
know that...
times. I mean, I've known people who have gone into the hospital, and every time they go into the hospital for something, they get tested. So every time they get a test, it's quite possible that it gets counted, if they're positive, at least.
But you don't really know how the crunching of the numbers goes, right?
There
could be a way that
too.
They...
That's the question.
Right.
That's
okay.
The headline. So the question is, which nobody really asks, is what is the reality. I think a lot of times when the numbers go to the CDC and then they look at the medical charts and they divvy out which is like really COVID as per death and which is really just like, you know, presumed COVID because they had a positive test and they may have died from something else completely. So it's a little more complicated.
So your sense of this, it sounds like, is that the numbers we're seeing are inflated, and that happens to work well for those in charge who want to achieve shutdowns and instill fear to, and part of that could be a motivation coming from a sincere good place. That is, it takes a certain level of fear to get people to respond. So at the beginning, the politicians were being briefed, like Ned was getting briefings from Washington saying this is very dangerous. You've got to use this protocol that we've got for how to instill fear and how to get people to lock down. And that might have actually been coming from a good place at the beginning, and then you find out it's not as serious as we thought. It looks more serious because of it was allowed to get into nursing homes and kill senior citizens.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the survival rate of COVID is quite high. I mean, it's really up in the high 90s, like 99% for someone who's doesn't have comorbidities and is under a certain age, say like 65, 70, 80 even. But there are also 80-year-olds and over who have comorbidities who survive. So, you know, the percentage might be 94 to 97% for someone in that elderly, place. But, I mean, it's not a death sentence. And I think, you know, it's kind of fortuitous that for some people that COVID has kind of gone into the cold and flu season. So now there's going to be a lot more false negatives because it is just capturing coronavirus as a whole and not specifically COVID-19. So I think the numbers need to have a bit more, looking into as far as, whether it is really COVID-19 that
sure.
people have or it's a cold. Which
yeah, but we also have to look into the credibility of the people who are crunching the numbers and delivering the news to us to get some questions to them. Thank you, Aaron. John in West Hartford. Hi, John.
Hi. I'd like to ask your opinion of something. I think the Democrats are engaging in the biggest con job in the history of the Republic.
Which
Rush
one?
Rush said something that keyed me to it. Everyone knows that Biden has dementia. He must have been pumped up physically and with information for that week before the debate. At the same time, Pelosi has suggested, was it some kind of a committee to evaluate the readiness of someone to be president, I think?
Yep.
Is that true?
That's what I've read, yes.
Okay. And I wonder if within a year after Biden is elected, if that committee doesn't go into operation, and we find out that Kamala Harris, which was a surprising choice for a running mate, I think she was not a big vote getter. I think she was the first one to drop out of the race for the Democratic nomination. I don't think she raises a lot of money, but I also think, and I need your help, she's very, very, very liberal. And I think with her being president, after Biden is pushed away, we'll have D.C. and Puerto Rico becoming states, electoral college, evaporated, all kinds of things that'll remove every principle and every structure that made America great. And I wonder what you think of that, please.
Well, I think that's their goal, the last thing, to undo the American system of government, to get rid of capitalism, to get rid of freedom, to get rid of liberty, and give us a Soviet-style state where they get to control more and more resources all the time. I mean, that's clear. Bankruptcy is their favorite thing. They love overspending us to death. There's got to be a reason. 860-522-9842. Thanks for the call, John.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.